Academy. We're continuing now the discussion of the importance of the midah, the trait of diligence, and he had pointed out how indolence and laziness is destructive. V'hine teida, and kizek klal gadol menusa b'mlachas ha'plishus. Their experience has proven a rule of central importance in someone who wants to separate himself off from destructive behavior. Shekol kula, any time that you come up with an idea as to why you can be a little more lenient or lax in something, it must be very carefully investigated as to whether that's legitimate. Whether, if you come up with a chumrah, if you come up with something that you are going to be machmer and you're going to take extra precautions, the likelihood is not that great that there are ulterior motives involved. But if you're coming up with an argument and a reason to justify you're not doing something, or any other kind of lenience, he says, you better be careful and check it out objectively, with someone objective as to whether this is legitimate. It may indeed be true that your reasoning may be valid and that you found a legitimate reason why you can be more lenient and less demanding in something. But it's extremely likely that you may be misled by the wile, by the cunning of the Yetzer Hara to find a heta, to find permission for what you want to do. As Dessler says, if you find somebody consulting the Shulchan Aruch to see whether it's permissible to play chess on Shabbos, you know what that person wants to find. He's not looking for an issa. He's not looking for a restriction. You're looking for a heta. And he says, you got to be careful when you're looking for a heta. It's very rare that people go looking in Shulchan Aruch to find the Shulchan, right?
His friend who wants to play chess.
Right. The kind of things that we generally look for in Shulchan is, can we find the Hedda? So he says, you got to be very careful, because if you're looking for a Hedda, you're biased, you have a personal interest, you're biased in favor of finding that Hedda, right? And as a result, you're going to, your logic and thinking is going to lead you that direction, and it may not be valid. And he says, it's extremely likely that the Yetzer Hara is going to cause you to see Hetera. So therefore, he says, when your reasoning is to find a kula, some lenience in some practice, you should be extremely careful, with a great deal of careful analysis and investigation. And without question, the best way to do that is to find a reliable poisek who is not motivated by your particular desire, and ask that poisek. Now, the problem is that if that poisek happens to be your rabbi, if that authority happens to be your rabbi, who wants to cultivate your an attitude of support from you, and he may think or he may feel that it's to his interest to satisfy your wishes, then that rabbi is not being objective either. So you got to be careful as to whom you ask. If you really want to do what's right, you got to try and get as objective as possible. Personal interest will mislead you.
Your own rabbi may know why you want to do something, why you're looking for it, as opposed to why someone else wants to do it. I mean, his familiarity with you, not his, but his familiarity with you should be should get you a better, a more correct answer for you.
It could. It could. The only thing is that we have to that you have to have a good idea of what your rabbi is like. The Talmud says, if you find a rabbi that is extremely beloved upon his community, in all likelihood, it's because he is not strict enough with his community. He's giving in to their wishes. Unfortunately, the Talmud says that in the time before Mashiach comes, Pnei HaDoik and Pnei HaKelev, the leaders of the generation will be similar to a dog. And the comparison is that a dog may very well run ahead of its master. You know, when you take your dog out for a walk, the dog runs ahead. But after a little while, he'll stop and look back and see which way the master is going. And if he finds that the master is turning the corner, he'll run back and follow him. Okay. So even though he's ahead, he turns back and see which way is he going. And what has happened in modern times is rabbis who want to ingratiate themselves with their following may very well look as to what is it that the people want. And although they are in title spiritual leaders, they actually become spiritual followers and cater to the will of the populace. So he says, you've got to be careful. If you're after truth, pursue truth. My feeling is, ask a shayla, realizing the seriousness of leading a proper life and doing the right things. Ask a shayla with the same criteria that you would ask a doctor a matter of something that is vital to your health. Now, if it's something which is of minor things, you may rely on what you read in the magazine. If it's something a little more important, you may ask your family doctor. If it's something that is really a matter that you think is a matter of life and death, you're going to get the best authority you can. It depends on what kind of gravity you take your observance of Torah mitzvahs. You really realize that we're talking a matter of spiritual life and death, then you're very careful about whom you ask.
You're not supposed to get a second opinion.
Pardon me?
You're not supposed to get a second opinion.
You're not supposed to go looking for a second opinion. Nor are you really supposed to go be looking for a second opinion in medicine unless you really want an honest second opinion. I'll get you a second opinion on medicine that will tell you whatever you want. Right? There's unfortunately in every profession enough people who will give you what you want to hear. Right? Simply to for their own personal interest. B'machel kalela titzdak, if after careful analysis and investigation your reasoning stands up, badashi teva, then your thinking has been good and the lenience that you've sought, the heta, is acceptable. Kol shodava, a general rule, chizuk godol tzorech adam mizchazik ulegaba bizrizus lasis hamitzvah, a person must greatly strengthen himself to do mitzvahs, v'hashlichem me'olav kovid ha'atzalah, by casting off from himself, throwing off from himself the weight of indolence, laziness, and my kevas ha'yoda, which serves as a barrier. Now they once asked the Nitziv, Rebbe Naftali Tzvi Barin, why is it that years ago rabbis received such little payment, such little salaries, and today, that was in the late 1800s, rabbis get such much larger salaries. So the Tziv says it's very simple. According to the din of the Shohar, the Talmud, a rabbi is not allowed to take payment for his primary function of teaching Torah. Because Hashem said, "Mani b'chinam, afata b'chinam." Just like I gave you the Torah without any payment, and I teach you Torah without any payment, you're also supposed to teach Torah without any payment. And that's the rabbi's primary function. So how then do we compensate a rabbi at all? So he says, rabbi is compensated for schar bito, that he is. He could have been otherwise.
You knew going to come to that.
He's could have been otherwise employed, and now that he's a rabbi, he can't be employed otherwise, so you've taken him away from something else. So he's allowed to get schar bittul. He says, years ago, he says, when the rabbi used to sit and learn Torah all day and all night, he had very little bittle, right? He had very little bittle, he got very little pay, right? Today, he said, the rabbis have so much bittle, he says, you got to pay them a lot.
Now they're also worried about the contract renewal if the Paschal ain't going to look like
that. Well, that could be. Continuing about the value of diligence, Chao says, Vesira, you can see Shamalochim Nishtabcha Bamida Taivazois. This trait of diligence is so important that it is used to describe the virtue of the Malochim, of the angels, Shenema Bahem.
It says, how can it be their virtue? They were made that way.
Well, even so, we find that angels have, although they don't have, as we understand it, a Yetzer Hara like we do, we find that angels have sometimes erred and were punished for it. Like we find by the Malachim, the angels who came to Lot to destroy Sodom and Amorah and to save Lot. And they said, they told Lot to get out of the city because we are going to destroy the city. Right? And they did not say Hashem is going to destroy it. And they said, we are going to destroy it. And for taking the credit upon themselves, they were punished and they were kept out of the divine presence for a long period of time. In fact, I think when the Medrash says that they were the angels who were ascending on the ladder of Yaakov, and until that time they had not been permitted back because of they had... As I saw, angels do have some leeway in which they might be might deviate. But in describing the tremendous kedusha of the angels, David HaMelech refers to them as Giborei Koyach. They are mighty in power. Oisei Dvoroi, they do the word of Hashem. Lishmoya Bekarol Dvoroi, to listen to the voice of Hashem, putting their action before the word. And this is where the Chachamim said that when the Bnei Yisrael responded to Hashem by Har Sinai, by saying, Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. In other words, they're ready to do, and nishma does not mean to hear, but we will understand. We will do, in other words, we will do immediately what we're told, and we'll understand later. First we will do. We'll do promptly. And that the Hashem said, where did they find the secret that Malachim used, that the angels used? The angels are oisei dvorei. First they do lishmoya b'kol dvorei, and then they listen to understand later. So he says, you see that this nasa v'nishma is a very laudable trait that one does immediately and not delay. There's many things in which the Chachamim, first of all, Zrizus is desirable and everything, but there's many things in which they purposely eliminated the delay. One of the questions that's asked is, tzedakah is such an important mitzvah, why isn't there no bracha on it? Why don't you make a bracha before you give tzedakah? And one of the answers that's given is, imagine what would happen. A person comes to the door asking for tzedakah, and he says, oh, I got to make a bracha. I got to go wash my hands. Got to put on my jacket. Put on a galatul. Make a bracha. The other guy's going to die for hunger. You don't make an achonis for tzedakah. Give right away. And in many mitzvahs, you got to be careful that the preparation for the mitzvah does not totally delay the mitzvah. The Yomer, it says again in Yecheskel about the Malachim, about the angels, V'achayez Rotzav V'shoev Kemarei Abozok, that the angels run and return as streaks of lightning. V'nei Odom U'Odom V'Lemala. Man cannot be as swift as angels, and that's not expected to him. Al-Kein Yavshal Eshi Agir L'Gurosa Shal Malach. He can't come to the strength of an angel. Achvadai, nevertheless, the closer he can come to this wonderful trait of being as swift as an angel and doing what he's supposed to, then it is appropriate that he make himself as close to that trait, develop it as highly as he can. David HaMelech spoke about this when he said, Chashti velo yismamati, I was quick and I did not delay lishma mitzvasecha, to observe your commandments. So he talked about the importance of zrizus, of diligence. Now, what constitutes diligence? He goes on in the next perik, in the next chapter, to talk about chelke azrizus, about the components of diligence. Chelke azrizus shnayim. There are two essential parts to zrizus, to diligence. Echad koidem ascholos hamaisa. One that precedes any particular action. Ve'echad achrei kenu, one after an action has been started. Koidem ascholos hamaisa, the one before you take any particular action. Hu shelo yachmitz ha'odem es ha-mitzvah, not to delay, not to tarry in beginning to do the mitzvah. Ela b'hagi hazmana, when the time for the mitzvah comes, over his damna lefono v'balosev ha-machshavto, when the opportunity arises, or the thought of it come of a mitzvah comes to his mind, yemaher yochish ma'aseu, he should quickly bring it to fruition. Lecha is about to take hold of the mitzvah, asay so, and to do it. V'lo yaniyach zman lizman shiyisra b'meitayim, and not to allow time to lapse in between. Ki ein sakona kisakonosai. These are very emphatic words. There is no danger as great as the danger of procrastination. And if he says in sakonakisakonosai, there is nothing as great as danger as great, he means that if a person were to decide not to do something, that he does not want to do a mitzvah, that's bad enough. But at least later on he can have tshuva and start thinking, oh, what do you mean I didn't do it? This is something I'm supposed to do. Right? So as bad as it is to decide not to do it, at least it gives you an opening for tshuva and allow you to do it. If you say, no, I'm going to do it, I just didn't get around to it. I will a little later. And as a rule, you procrastinate and you procrastinate and you end up in forgetting or the time passes. This is, for example, why the mitzvah is that if a person does not have a minyan for Ma'ariv at an established time and comes home and it's already time to daven Ma'ariv, that if he says, I'm going to relax a little bit, and then I'll eat supper, and after supper I'll daven Ma'ariv. Now, if after supper you have a minyan that davens at a fixed time that you go to, then there's no problem with that. But if you're going to be davening alone, and you say, and it's already reached the time for Ma'ariv, and you're going to do other things first, the Gemara comes out with an expression, chayiv misa. It's a capital crime. Why? Because you're gonna, the likelihood of forgetting is too great. So, he says there is nothing as dangerous as delaying something that you should be doing. Why? He says, because asher hine kol rega shemishadesh, every moment, every new moment that goes by, yuchal ishadesh eze ikav lamas atayv, an unforeseen obstacle can come up that you didn't think of before. So when you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, do it. Because if you're going to put it off, you have no idea what's going to occur in the next few minutes, right? The telephone's going to ring and somebody wants to come over, or somebody wants you to come over. There's some, the faucet leaks, the roof leaks. 1,100 different things can occur. And with all your good intentions that you want to do it later, obstacles will come up that will deter you. And totally unforeseen things can occur. Therefore, he says, just don't allow that to occur. When the mitzvah comes, do it promptly. V'alamita zeh hadavar, and the truth of this is borne out where the Chazal say, be'inyan hamlochas shleimei, that when it came to inaugurating, to enthroning, coronating Shlomo HaMelech, she'amar David livneyo, David HaMelech, who was at that time close to death, said to his general, "V'iradete Moisei el Gichon, take Shlomo HaMelech down to the Gichon, which is a stream, and crown him there." V'ona b'nayo, And Benayahu responded, Omen, Ken Yemer Hashem, may Hashem say so and agree with this, asking for the blessing of Hashem. So the Talmud says on this, Amro Zulishainim, according to the Talmud, Rapinchas b'shem Rab Chanan de Tzipari, Rapinchas quoted Rab Chanan of saying, V'alek v'anemah, Shlema Melech was already promised, Hine ven noilad loch, you're going to have a son, Hu yiyeh ish menucha, who will be a man of peace, as Shlema Melech was. So what was the hurry in getting Shlema HaMelech crowned when the promise of Hashem was that it's going to happen? What was the need to for all the haste? So the Talmud says, "Amahal bekategor in many adverse circumstances, Yamdu can still arise and mikan va'adgichan from now until you get it done." He says, "Hurry up and get it done, because even though Hashem promised that it will occur, if you don't do it promptly, you're leaving open abundant opportunities for obstacles to occur to make it more difficult." Al-Kain Yisir HaZachonim Levocha, that's why the Chachamim say, the Pesuk says, Uchmatem Es HaMatzos, be careful and observe that the matzah does not become chumis. Do not let it sit around, but work with it quickly so that the matzah dough does not become chumis. Now the word matzos, phonetically we read it as matzos, but when you read it without the vowels, mem tzadik vov sof, can be mitzvahs just as matzos. So the Chachamim say, ushmatem es hamitzvahs, apply the same attitude and diligence toward mitzvahs as one does toward matzahs. Just, you know, you're not allowed to let the matzah sit around for a few extra seconds because it'll become chometz. The same thing the Gemara says, mitzvah halba aliyotcha. If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, al tach mitzena, do not let the mitzvah become delayed. The Amru, the Chachamim said, la'olam yakdim over the dva mitzvah, yakdim over the dva mitzvah. Let me show you how important it is to do a mitzvah as soon as possible. And it gives the example of the two daughters of Lot, who, after Sodom was destroyed, they felt that what had happened was that Hashem has destroyed the entire world, as he did with the Mabul, with the flood, and that therefore mankind was going to come to extinction. And inasmuch as by Adam and Chavin, Cain and Hevel, it says that Cain and Hevel were born with sisters, and with twin sisters, and that these were their spouses, and that therefore this was a permissible relationship because they were the only men and women on earth. Therefore, the daughters of Lot, Gemara says, they intended for this to be a mitzvah when they conceived from their father. So it says, L'shelafisha ikdima b'chira l'tzira, because the older one preceded in conceiving, zachsa, she was rewarded with kodma abba deres b'Yisrael amalchus, and her descendant, David HaMelech, got the throne four generations earlier before the younger one, because David HaMelech was from Moab, and the Nama HaMoinis, Shlema HaMelech's wife Nama, was her son that became king later, her grandson, so that it's there were four generations earlier that Moab had the, and that was the reward. That was the reward for the fact that she tried to do a mitzvah earlier.
So ultimately, Malchus came through both of them.
Which?
Ultimately, Malchus came through both daughters.
Malchus came through both daughters, right? But one from Maya and one from Amit.
But I don't understand why. Because the elder preceded the younger. What does that have to do with it?
The question is, they both tried to do the mitzvah of populating the world, right?
Yeah, but said because the elder daughter preceded
the younger. Preceded. In other words, she did it first.
She was more diligent.
She was more diligent, and therefore she was rewarded for it. Nama Moines was, I'm sorry, was the wife of Rechava. Not Shlomo. She was the wife of Rechava. Mistake. Take it back. She was the wife of Rechava. And it was her son then that became king. No, we're not going to back up. Just a correction. Whoever is going to listen to the tape will have to wait. Well, that's why Lloyd was saved. The Amru and the Chachamim have said, Zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs, the diligent people, recognized by the fact that they try to advance themselves in doing mitzvahs earlier. And you said, why did the malchus come from Lloyd? You see that Mashiach, David HaMelech, had to come through very questionable relationships. Starts us off with Yehuda and Tamar, right? And then with way back before Yehuda and Tamar, with Lloyd and his daughters, and then Yehuda and Tamar, and then Rus and Boaz, all shady relationships. And the fact that it happens repeatedly so is much more than a coincidence. And the example that's given is that Ramchal in his Sefer Derech Hashem says that Hashem has set up a system which is, although he can at any time overrule, he has set up a system which must fit in with a method and procedures of justice, just like we have a court system that has procedures and rules and regulations. And for a particular neshama to come down, there could be such opposition to it that such opposition by the sultan that the neshama may not be allowed, may be withheld from descending to the earth, to this world. So that sometimes it was necessary to try and outwit the sultan. They said that gives an example of a person who wanted to smuggle out diamonds, and he was afraid that it's going to be detected, and he saw his opportunity once when there was a garbage truck going out, so he hid the packet of diamonds in the garbage truck, assuming that's one place where nobody is going to look for diamonds. So he said that in order to outwit the sultan, Hashem made the neshama of David HaMelech come through ways in which the sultan would not even think that's where it's going to be. So it had to come through relationships which were so unlikely to be the source of a neshama of David HaMelech that the sultan was outwitted. So that's why it came through such repeatedly shady relationships.
You have to include marrying two sisters.
Yaakov marrying two sisters. Well, at that time wasn't even forbidden, so I don't know.
That's still part of the
change. Right, part of the change. Yeah. All kind of questionable relationships. The Chen Amru, similarly, the Chachamim said about diligence, Le'olam Yorotz Adam L'Divar Mitzvah Filo B'Shabbos, even though on Shabbos one must walk in a more relaxed fashion, and one should not run for on Shabbos. However, to run for a mitzvah is permissible even on Shabbos. Uba Medrash Amru, the Medrash says, the Posek, Hu Yanagenu Almus, that Hashem will lead us eternally. So the Medrash says that almos, instead of meaning eternally, can also mean bezrizos, with diligence, because the word almos, ki ilein ulemta, like a young maiden who moves swiftly, kemadatama, as the Pasuk says, the seich alomos tefefos, that in the midst of young maids playing their cymbals. So alomos or almoses can be interpreted as like young maidens, and that talking then about with the energy and diligence of young people. Ki azridus he midus shlemus godo, because diligence is a trait of a high level of spiritual development, ashativi shalodamani memeno ato, where a person's nature generally prevents him from attaining it immediately. Umishis gababa kalmash yuchal, if a person makes extra effort at being diligent in ili osid lova yizkilob emes, then in the future he will really, in time to come, attain it. Ashrabayir izbach yitna lo ischore, and Hashem will give him great reward, chelef mashi ishtadal acheo bizmano ledosoi, in return for the fact that he made such effort for it at the time of the service of Hashem. To be continued. Continuing his discussion of what constitutes zrizus, diligence, he said that there are two components of it. One is the diligence before doing something, to stimulate oneself to do something and do it promptly and avoid procrastination. And the second part, it says, achazrizus acharas cholas hamaisa, is also necessary to be diligent once you've started something to get it done and not to drag it out and procrastinate once you've started something. Shekimi she'ochaz b'mitzvah, once you've grasped the mitzvah, yemaya v'hashlimoisa, he should be quick to complete it, v'loy lahokel me'alav, and not to, for the sake of convenience, k'misha misaver lahashlich me'alav masoy, not in a way that I'm going to do it so get out of it and get it over and done with. Elo mi'yirosoy, the haste should be not to get it over with, but because of concern, pen lo yizke ligmaraisa, lest he might not get to finish it. V'alzei hirbu lahazir zechonim levocha, and the sages were emphatic about this and warned, kol amaslu b'mitzvah evein egeimaraisa, if a person begins a mitzvah and abandons it, koi v'rishter bono, they came out with a very ominous punishment. The Amrun, they said, "Ein a mitzvah nikreis al Hashem goimra." A mitzvah is the credit is given for the performance of the mitzvah to the one who completes it. The example being that the burial of Yosef was accomplished by the Israelites when they came into Canaan, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and yet it was Moshe Rabbeinu who, while everybody else was gathering booty before they left Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu went around trying to find where Yosef was buried, and he forfeited any personal gain in order to find out where Yosef was buried, and he personally was involved with bringing Yosef's remains out of Egypt. And even though he was responsible for 40 years, it says that the Israelites who took Yosef out of Mitzrayim, Now, the Israelites did not take him out of his time. They just completed the burial because Moses didn't go into Israel. And yet the Torah refers to the Israelites who took Moses out of his time. So the Gemara says because they were the ones who completed it. And the credit is given to the ones who completed it, even though here Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't complete it, not because he was neglectful, but because he wasn't permitted to go in. The Emir Shlomo Melech says in Proverbs, Choses Yishmoel B'Melachtoi Lifnei Melochem Yisyatzov V'Yisyatzov Lifnei Chashukim. If you see a man who is diligent and quick in doing his work, he is one who will stand before kings, and he will not stand before degenerates. V'Chachonim Zechonim B'Vocho Yichasu Lo Yashem V'Chazeh, and this praise was given to Shlomo HaMelech himself, Al Shemir B'Melechus Binyan Abayis, V'Lai Nisatsa B'Lachroisa, because he was diligent in finishing the work of the Beis HaMikdash, and once he started, he didn't allow it to drag on. V'Chein Drashu Al Moshe, followed by Shalom Al Shemir B'Melechus HaMishkin, similarly, we find that the Chachamim praised Moshe Rabbeinu for being very diligent in completing the work of the sanctuary in the desert. The Chem Tinso, and so you will also find Kol Masem Shal Tzadikim Tamed Bin Milos, that wherever Tzadikim's, the actions of the righteous are mentioned, we find that they are always completing their work quickly and not dragging it out, not delaying it. By Avram it says, Kosabay Vaimayra Avram Ho'ela Sora Ishtoi, that when Avram had the angels, he hurried to Sarah. Vayomer, he said, Mahari, hurry and prepare. So everything was done with speed. Vayiten el anar vaymaher. Then he gave the ox to the young man, and he had him prepare it quickly. Rivka, when Rivka came out and she saw Eliezer, and she was going to water his camels for him, but to Maher, she hurried Vatar Kadon, she emptied her pitcher. The Chenomel by Midrash, and the Midrash refers to Vatar Maher Ho'isha, when the angel appeared to Samson's mother and told him the tidings that she was going to bear a son who was going to be a leader in Israel, that she hurried to tell her husband. And the Midrash says, Malamed, these all indicate Shekol Masem Shel Tzadikim B'Mehilos, that a person's actions, like those of the Tzadikim, should always be done quickly, without delay. Ashelo Yitno Hefzik Zman Leis HaLascholos HaMitzvah Leil HaShemosa. They don't allow any delay, not in initiating the mitzvah or in its completion. The Sira, and you will see, Sheha'odam asher telayit navshe ba'avodas boire, a person who has a fervor, a strong desire to do that which Hashem wishes, vaday shelo yisatzo ba'asiyas mitzvayso. A person who has a burning desire to get a mitzvah done is obviously not going to delay it and drag it out. Elatia tnuosa kitnuosa eish amira, his actions, his movements are going to be like a quick flame. Ki lo yanuach v'lo yishkot, because he will not rest until adim kilo hadover l'hashlimoi, until he has finished the thing and the deed has been totally completed. So an interesting observation he starts out. He says, first of all, you see someone who does a mitzvah with a great deal of desire and cheshek and a burning desire to get it done is obviously not going to schlep it out, and is going to, with his dedication, a strong dedication, he's going to do it and get it done quickly. Now, from here he goes on and says, the omnam he's going tonight. He says, now, carry this out further. Shekemoi shehazrizus, Hutoledes islatus, just like diligence, getting things done quickly, is a consequence of the islatus hapnimi, of the internal fervor that the person has. Kein min hazrizus yivoledai islatus. Similarly, from doing things quickly, you will develop a strong desire and a fervor. An interesting point. The first point is obvious. A person who has a strong desire to get something done is not going to schlep it out, and he's going to do it quickly. And now he says, and the reverse is also true, that once you do things with diligence and quickly, all right, and get the thing done and not schlep it out, you will develop the fervor. And the feeling will come as a result of your actions. Behainu, that is, Kimisha Malgesh Atzma Vemasa Emitzvah. If a person realizes and feels that he's doing the mitzvah, Kimisha Memaltanu Asachetzaina, by a quick external action, right? His external behavior is quick and diligent. Kain Hu Goyrem Shativa Boitnu Osei Hapnimis Kimoichet. That will cause that he develops an internal emotion of a strong desire to get it done. V'hacheshek v'hachefetz yizgaba b'v'yela. And the desire to get it done will increase progressively. Achem yishnaig b'chvedus b'tznuas evorov. If he goes about it very slowly, gam tznuas ruchetish gevetich, but then his cheshek and desire is going to slow up and become weaker and extinguish. This is something which experience proves. Very
This is the most interesting concept. It's one which we find several times in the Talmud, as when the Talmud says, "Lo'olam yasik odam b'teira v'mitzvah shaloi lishma, shemeter shaloi lishma bo lishma." A person should always engage in the study of Torah and in the performance of mitzvahs, even if he is not doing this with the purest of motives, because once he does it, it will lead to the proper kavanah, to the proper intent, and the proper concentration and motivation. This is the idea of doing as if. Now, doing as if is not at all hypocrisy. It is not that one is doing something that one does not believe in, but because doing the proper thing and doing avodas Hashem, study the Torah, the performance of mitzvahs, may cause certain limitations, restrictions, inconveniences, impositions upon a person, it is natural for there to be an inertia and a resistance to it. Now, as a result of this, obviously the two go together, the inertia and the resistance. If an individual forces himself to go through the motions of doing the mitzvah, go through the motions of spending the time studying, he is going to do it anyway. What happens is that the resistance that comes from the reluctance to do it is likely to disintegrate, because the act is going to be done anyway. And since it's going to be done anyway, it's like, why fight it? The Tanya, for example, says that within each person there is a innate desire to do the will of Hashem. There's an innate desire, an inborn desire to do Torah and mitzvahs. The problem is that the imposition or the inconveniences that this may sometimes cause serve as a barrier to the desire to do it. And if one forces himself to go through the motions of doing it, one does away with that restriction, as it were, with that barrier. And then the internal desire can come forth in its full force. This has its counterpart in modern psychology as well. In one of my books where I discuss Charles Schulz's cartoons, in the book When Did the Good Things Start, I have a cartoon there where Sally says to Charlie Brown, "I hate the world and I hate everything in it." And Charlie Brown says, "Oh, I thought you had inner peace." And Sally says, "I do, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." In previous days, a psychological problem was often approached with the attitude of, let's understand its origin, let's understand where it's come from, let's work through the problem, and then the symptom will go away. In modern psychology, we generally do not ascribe to that. Many patients used to tell me, doctor, I understand everything perfectly. Intellectually, it makes perfect good sense. The only problem is that I don't feel any different. In other words, the symptoms were not relieved. And this was because we were looking for the, quote, inner peace, like Sally, having the inner peace and still the outer obnoxiousness. Modern schools, which are much more behavioristic-oriented, behavior modification or whatever, approach by, look, let's change behavior. Let's not worry right now about the internal mechanisms, about the psychodynamics. Let's change behavior. If you have difficulty in doing something, first do it. Later on, we'll worry about why you have the difficulty. Same thing with phobias, with compulsions, with various kinds of psychological problems. Do first, and later on we'll worry about the dynamics. And essentially this is what he is saying. If you're going to try and develop a theoretical concept of why you should do Torah and mitzvahs with a great fervor, with a strong desire, you may never get there. He says, look, first begin by doing them. The quickness of the action and the diligence of doing the act, that in itself is likely to bring about the sought-after desire and kavana. And this is a very valid psychological point which Luzzatto states. And he continues by saying, V'omnum kvar yodato, it is already well known, shanilse yoiso b'avodis ha-boire, that what is desired in the service of Hashem Yisboch, hu chefetz ha-lev v'chukus ha-neshome, is indeed the desire, the dedication of the heart, and the longing of the soul for Hashem. As David HaMelech says, ke'ayol tarag alafike mayim, as a deer yearns for the water spring. Kenafshi sarag yalech lekim. That is how my soul yearns for God. Soma nafshi lekim. My soul thirsts for God. Nichsav avagam kol sanafshi lechatros Hashem. My soul longs to be with Hashem in his courtyard. And again, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh craves for you. The ulam, however, even though this is the desired goal, if a person does not yet have this burning desire, a wise advice for him is to be diligent and quick in what he is doing, so that the outcome will be that a internal desire will eventually arise. And of course, he's quite right in saying that what is desired is to do the act with the proper attitude and with the proper motivation and desire to fulfill the will of Hashem. This was a cornerstone of Hasidic teaching, Rachmona Liberboy, that Hashem wants the motivation of the heart, which by no means should be interpreted that one can perform mitzvahs only with emotion and desire and meditation itself. Quite the contrary. Mitzvahs must be performed as they are outlined in the Shulchan Aruch, as we are told that we must do an action. However, they must be accompanied ideally by the proper kavana, by the proper desire, by the proper motivation. It is told that the Baal Shem, one time on a sukkahs, was noted to be smiling more than usual. And he later related to his disciples that a Jew was wandering in the forest, and this was the day of the eve of Sukkot, and he was lost in the forest and couldn't find his way out. And as the sun was going to set, he was very concerned that he would not make it home in time for the holiday, but even more concerned that he would not have an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. And then he had a brilliant idea. He took off his hat, cut the top of his hat off, put sticks and branches and leaves on top of his hat, and was thrilled that he had this brilliant idea of how to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now, of course, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah because the mitzvah of Sukkah requires a structure with walls and ceiling and so forth. But in his simple grasp, he believed that he did have a sukkah. And his intent was pure, his intent was sincere. And the Baal Shem said that this had stimulated such mirth and joy among the heavenly angels that they rejoiced with it and they laughed heartily. And he said, when I saw the angels laughing, I laughed, I smiled along with them. So the desire, of course, is for the sincere emotion and dedication of the heart, but it must, of course, be accompanied by proper performance of the mitzvahs. And so he goes on to say again that the desire may not be there initially, but can be stimulated and can be aroused by proper action. Because the external movements can arouse and stimulate the internal feelings. Obviously, external behavior is much more under a person's control than internal feelings. And since it is very difficult to convert one's emotions or one's feelings, one should do what one can, and that is control one's external behavior, which will then influence the feelings. Achim yishtamish b'masha b'yodoy, if a person will use that which he does have at his hand, yikne gam masha eine b'yodoy v'hemshech, then this will bring along that which is beyond his control, ki tivolet v'hasimcha p'nimis, because it will give rise to an internal joy, v'hachevitz v'hachemda, and a desire and a craving to do the will of Hashem, as a consequence, as a result of the fact that he is doing things appropriately and diligently and quickly, and as he said, this will affect his emotions to do the right thing. And this is why the prophet says in Hosea, "V'neida nirdefol adas Hashem." Let us know, let us run to know God, meaning being quick to do the will of Hashem will allow us to get a better intellectual awareness of how we are to serve Hashem. The Chosuv, it also says, Achre Hashem yelchu, after God they will go, ki ayesh yishag, who will roar like a lion, an expression of the majesty of Hashem. But the emphasis, Achre Hashem yelchu, they go after, they seek Hashem by doing their external actions and the mitzvahs with a quickness and with a dedication and a diligence. We've reached the end of a chapter here, so we will continue from here tomorrow.